Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the many blessings that you pour out on us each day, Father, and for speaking to us in so many ways. Father, open our hearts and minds to speak to us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, happy 5th of July, everybody. It's good to see you all on Zoom, even if I can't see you in person. The lessons today, I hope you're paying attention because I'm not going to read them again. You just have to guess. No, I'm just kidding. The lessons today are wonderful reminders to you of the peace that God offers to us, okay, and to the whole world as well. Especially, listen to this one again, Matthew 11:28. You just heard this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, that's a good word for us these days, and especially for our nation as we go through the times we're going through. Now, you got an email yesterday from Father Bill, and he told you that this weekend is the buck full moon. You know, tonight's going to be interesting in the heavens, and you also heard this from Father Bill as well, too. But one of the things that's going to happen is, as the moon rises, it and Jupiter and Saturn are going to form a triangle in the sky. And I think that happens after about 9 p.m. Hopefully we can all see that. But you know, that number of three, the triangle, is a number of perfection and the Trinity, of course. And God is reminding you of his presence tonight. Okay, so I hope you get to go out and take a look at that. Now, you know that the moon affects the earth. Okay, its gravitational pull affects us. It is the cause for the tides. Right? It also affects people as well. And you've heard about this over the years, you know, that emergency rooms and are busier and, you know, women deliver babies more often during full moons and all sorts of things, you know. So we know that the moon can affect us as well, too. And, you know, probably it has something to do with that gravitational pull and the fact that, you know, the water is being pulled on the earth and we're mostly made of water. And so we're being pulled. And so you could say that right now that we're all at high tide, so to speak. Okay. So that's what's going on right now. But there's a lot of unrest going on in the world. You know, if you follow the news at all, that's probably been pretty obvious to you. It's not because of the moon. There's a lot of injustice, a lot of things being exposed, and injustice always leads to unrest, and therefore an absence of peace. Yeah, it's hard to find peace in the world right now. You know, there are as many points of view out there right now as there are issues. I'm not going to go into all of those. But all of this tends to steal our peace. And it's something that we need more and more nowadays. Peace in the world, the world's peace, is fleeting. And you know that true peace only comes from Jesus. Okay. Now, these scriptures today, Zechariah, Romans, and Mark, all address this issue and the idea of peace and how we can find it, okay? You know, when I'm working in the urgent cares, one of the sayings that I have, other than full moons make people crazy, is that when I'm talking to a patient about their diagnosis, I say, now, this isn't one of those problems that makes me run up and down the hall screaming, okay? You know, there are some things that can make you run up and down the hall screaming, you know, and particularly in the urgent care, it's if somebody is unconscious, you know, that'll do it. But short of that, we tend to stay pretty calm, you know. And so when I say that, when I say, you know, this is not one of those problems that makes me run up and down the hall screaming, you know, then what I'm doing is I'm trying to calm the patient. Them, but, you know, I don't have to call them an ambulance or something like that or do extraordinary things. You see what I mean? And the events of the world, the current events particularly, shouldn't make us run up and down the hall screaming, okay? We are followers of Jesus. We are followers. We are children of the King. And we should be able to remain calm in the midst of storms. Now, that's unlike my dog, who, when it starts to thunder outside, gets, you know, crazier and crazier. And, you know, we used to have these two dogs, and when it would storm, they could almost eat through the front door just to get inside. OK, Okay. Can get that bad. And we had thought about buying one of these things for him you can buy called a thunder shirt, you know, and it's kind of like a comforting shirt for dogs. We never wound up doing that, but it's interesting. Now, does any of you need a thunder shirt right now? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, you have one. It's Jesus. He can be your thunder shirt, so to speak. I don't think that's going to be the title for this sermon, okay? All right. So anyway, the lessons for today are wonderful reminders to us of the peace that God offers to us and to the whole world, okay? Let's talk about Zechariah first of all. You know, this is an incredible and wonderful and should be familiar prophecy to you of the coming Savior, the Messiah. So that first part that you see is gentle, riding on a donkey, riding on the colt, the foal of a donkey, right? Well, this is an incredibly comforting picture, and I don't think you necessarily get the full import of that unless you were living in Jerusalem during those times, but this would be an incredibly comforting picture to a people who are traumatized by war and chaos all around them, by death, and yes, injustice as well, and lawlessness. And so instead of picturing what they would expect, which would be this great, you know, this king riding in on a great chariot, brimming with weapons, like, you know, in Ben-Hur, you know, even the wheels had, you know, these little things that could eat the wheels of other chariots, you know, instead of that, killing everything in its path and just mowing it down, or particularly in modern times, the equivalent of that would be some king coming in this, you know, buzzing Cobra helicopter with machine guns and rockets all at bear, you know. He doesn't do that. He comes in riding on a donkey, not even a full-grown donkey, the colt, the foal of a donkey. He comes in peacefully, comes in humbly. In modern terms, he's riding on a moped instead of the helicopter, okay? A very humble form of transportation, okay? And you see how comforting to think that our creator and possible destroyer comes to the earth peacefully, humbly. And this is the promise of Zechariah. Now, I mentioned he's a possible destroyer. Well, he has the ability to remove us all anytime he wants, but he doesn't do that. He comes humbly, peacefully to us to bring us peace, you see. Now, this promise, this prophecy in Zechariah that you just heard is fulfilled. And you all know this. This is fulfilled in the triumphal entry, Jesus riding in Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of a donkey, okay? And we know that. Okay. Now, in the next part, Zechariah 9:10, he says, I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle. And your king will bring peace to the nations. Now, it is this same king, this Messiah, that will bring peace. We know in that first half of the prophecy already come true. But in the second half, there is also truth, too. Okay. Now, modern equivalent for this second half, that thing that I just read to you there, today would be tanks and armored cars in, you know, Israel and police barriers and soldiers in your streets or in Jerusalem. Okay. But peace comes through the king. Only the Messiah can bring that peace. Zechariah makes that very clear right there. And again, as I said, this is partially fulfilled as well, but I'm going to speak about that in just a little bit more. The second scripture today in Romans, one scripture I want you to focus on there, 8, 5, and 6, okay, letting the Spirit, and I'm using the New Living Translation right now, the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace, okay? Let me start back again at verse 5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. You know, we often think of that sinful nature there that he's talking about, that Paul's talking about there, as being things like indulgence or lust or drunkenness or debauchery, you know, and it is those things for sure, but it is also unbelief. It is distrust of God. It is trusting in your own plans more than God, which is pride. Okay. So you see then, if we put that in there, if you let distrust and unbelief and self-reliance control your mind, it leads to death. It's just a simple thing you can insert here, you know, so letting distrust, unbelief, self-reliance control your mind leads to death, okay? But peace comes through the Spirit. That is the answer to that. You see, as Father Bill has often preached to you, it's about what you let into your mind that leads you down this path, okay, one path or the other, okay? Months ago, I told you during the pandemic, you know, that originally I was spending a lot of time looking at the news, reading the news, because I had to keep up with what was going on with this, you know, virus and such. And now that things have kind of settled down, and for virus, at least, our diagnosis and treatment are mostly kind of understood, I don't look at the news anymore, okay? If I do, I will run down the hall screaming. So you see, if the media tells you that the world is going to you know where, in a you know what, you may not specifically 100% believe that, and you probably shouldn't believe the media 100%, but it will make you worry, which then leads to distrust or doubting God, then to disbelief in God, which then leads you to taking matters into your own hands, which, as we have said, leads to death. Otherwise known in medical terms as a bad outcome. So we don't want to do that. And so we got to listen to what Paul's telling us there in Romans chapter 8. And you need to go back and read that, okay? Letting the Holy Spirit of God control your mind leads to life and peace. It leads to life eternal, forever. And it leads to peace that carries you through any storm. Oh, did you hear that word? Any storm, anything you can imagine, the Holy Spirit of God can carry you through that in peace. Okay. Now, you know how to let the Spirit control your mind. Okay. You've been around this block a couple of times. It's not some kind of trance or incantation. It's not the words that you say. There's nothing for you to manipulate. There are no crystals that help, okay? And there's no foreign-sounding words that you got to say or standing on your head needed, okay? It's spending time with the Spirit. It's just spending time with Him, making time for Him each day in your life, including Him. You know, basically, it just comes down to being His beloved child and sharing your life with your parent. See, peace, sometimes we forget where it comes from, and these scriptures are here to remind us of that today. You remember the story that we hear about Jesus in Mark chapter 4. It talks about Him calming the waves on the storm, okay? And I'm going to read that to you, Mark 4:35. It says, that day when evening came, He said to His disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along, just as He was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. You know, Jesus was in the boat asleep, and He says, "Peace, be still." And not only is it for wind and waves, but it is for us. It is a command for us. He calls out to our hearts and minds and souls and commands us, "Peace, be still." You see, just like the raging seas, I mean, just like the tides, just like the effect of the moon, the tides, which he commands, he offers that same peace to us with these comforting words. Peace, be still. And though it says in the scripture that I just read you there, he rebuked the wind and the waves, he could easily have been saying exactly the same thing to those disciples in the boat, because they were running up and down the hall screaming, weren't they? What, you don't care if we're going to die? Peace, be still. And again, he's offering that to us right now, even in the midst of the turmoil and the strife that we hear about and see going on around us. It was prophesied by Zechariah, and Paul teaches us in this passage in Romans, and then Jesus puts out this blanket invitation to us in Matthew. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Wonderful. So also early back in the pandemic, I shared with you one of Bishop Jones's prophecies, which again you can find on Aslan Roars. And I want to remind you of that, or a part of that. This is a different thing than what I used that time, but I want to read this to you. Understand that this prophecy he gave in October of 2018, so a little while ago, he said, I also saw the blimp, which represents the world, shaking violently. And I heard the old rock and roll song, All Shook Up, being sung as the blimp was shaking. The Lord said that as we transfer from one season of never, never into the place of always, always, that our whole world was going to get shook up. The Lord will even use the enemy to serve as the propeller that propels us more quickly into the next place of always, always. It's going to be a lot of transition and change in the way we think, in the way we do things, that will shake up our world personally. The Lord said that the way each individual stewards the transition will determine how far they go into the land of always, always. I think our world is being shaken up at the moment, don't you? I think that this prophecy is still unfolding for us right now. The world is shaking. It's not over yet. The shaking continues. And in the midst of that shaking, we must look to him for our peace, because we won't find it in the world. The way each individual stewards the transition will determine how far you go. Will you run around in circles screaming? Will you run up and down the hall screaming? Or will you be still and be at peace? See, this prophecy tells us that there will be turmoil and strife. Peace is going to be hard to find, especially if you look for it in the world. But Jesus said these wonderful, comforting words, inviting words for everyone. He said, my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. The yoke of the world is heavy, and it is not easy to bear, but his is light, and he invites us to come to him. I said in the first part of the passage in Zechariah, his prophecy has come true in the triumphal entry, and the second part has come true as well, too, because the Messiah has brought peace in our hearts, and it will come to the nations as well, too. So, how will you address the time of turmoil, the time of, the bishop says, transition? Come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners who have hope. That's what he says to Zechariah. Peace is still found only in one place, that is, in the Messiah. Peace is found only in the arms of Jesus. He invited us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. So find your peace in Jesus. Amen.